This will no doubt be a shock to many of you, but I've never been confused with what you may call a superstar athlete. That will likely shock my colleagues a great deal as we've been together these last few years. In fact, I think it would be way overstretching it to even say star athlete, but if you hold the word athlete in a very open way, perhaps I would qualify as an athlete. I was able to be on the team and make small contributions here and there. But I was not the person that you necessarily wanted to see when the game was on the line. In fact, I really only have one significant memory of all my athletic endeavors, and that was a small contribution I made to my high school football team when my junior year of high school when we were playing for the state championship. I was on the kickoff team, and I held the position on the very side of the field. And my command from my coach was very simple. I had to stay at home, as he would say. My job was to prevent whoever received the ball on the other team from getting around me and then having that open space to score a touchdown. Now, I dreaded this ever happening, but sure enough, during this state championship game, we kicked off to the opposing team. Their receiver, their returner, fielded the ball, and he began running. And it was clear right off the bat that this was a very athletic person. Right? I mean, this person was chosen to go field a ball that was kicked spiraling end over end across the field and to avoid a dozen people running at him. He was very athletic. Well, sure enough, he shook off one of my teammates and another of my teammates, and it soon became clear that all that stood between this returner and 6 points was myself. Now, I had stayed at home. I had that down. I was where I needed to be, but there was a big question mark. Could I actually make the play? Could I do what I needed to do to stop this much more gifted athlete than myself? Now, he comes near me. Time slows down. I see him. I get in position. I make the right angle. And I'm happy to say I performed only what you would call a very textbook form tackle. He did not win those 6 points. We lost the game, but that was fine. My mother's prayers were answered, and it wasn't because of me. Now, reflecting back on that, I am struck by the fact that that was just one small example that relates to a number of examples from my life where I've been in a situation where my perceived abilities were greatly overmatched by the opportunity or the demands before me. And that's a trivial example, but it points to a number of real situations that we all experience where what we're being asked to do feels like a mismatch with what we're able to do. I can think of a number right off the top of my head. Even graduating college or eventually going to earn a PhD, being a husband, being a father, leading through a global pandemic, reading out a couple of hundred names at a graduation. All of these things are much more difficult than I often feel ready for. Many of you have faced very similar things. All of you will face very similar things. You will enter into situations. You will take opportunities. You will have demands placed on you where this mismatch between your abilities and the requirements of the situation will feel overwhelming. I mean, for me, that's one reason I've always been drawn to Joshua chapter 1. At least for about 20 years now, this passage has been helpful to me when those situations arise because we see the story of one of God's choice servants, Joshua, who has been put into a situation where he is to follow Moses, right? The greatest leader that Israel has ever known. He is to follow him in actually bringing these Israelites, right, out of their wilderness wanderings and into the promised land. Moses dies, and we get to this commissioning of Joshua by God. And I think this is instructive for us as we gather today. And I just want to read it and make a few reflections that I hope will be encouraging to you. I'm going to begin reading in Joshua 1, chapter 5. The word of the Lord to Joshua is this: "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." First, from this passage, we see that the presence of God is enough. The presence of God is enough. The Lord tells Joshua, "No man shall stand before you." And it's based on this promise that just as Joshua was with Moses, God will also be with Joshua. Now, brothers and sisters, I love our faculty. I love our student life staff, all of our academic support. We have labored to try and prepare you to the very best that we can for whatever life will throw at you. But the truth is that you will face many difficulties and many opportunities that you can never be prepared for through us. They will never fit on a syllabus. And you're going to get in these situations and you're going to make a joke about how, "Well, Dr. Tucker never prepared me for this," or "Dr. Burke never came up with this in ethics class." And you'll say that just to alleviate some of the stress that you feel because of the situation that you're in. But it will be true, because there's only so much that any education can give you. And yet, brothers and sisters, in any of those moments, you can certainly rely on the fact that the presence of God in your life is enough. We know that God is with us, just as he was with Moses and just as he was with Joshua. He will be with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? And in those moments where the demands of the situation far outrun your education, I would implore you to trust in the presence of God in your life to be enough. Second reflection here is that your commitment to Scripture will make all the difference. Right? Your commitment to Scripture will make all the difference. God establishes the expectations of the leadership of Israel right here in this passage when he says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, that you shall meditate on it day and night." Friends, you have not taken class after class in Bible and theology and all the related disciplines just so you can have a head filled with knowledge of Scripture, although we do want you to have that. But what our hope is that we have laid a foundation that you will take with you for the rest of your life, and that you will not graduate here as one who has finished with the study of Scripture, but as one who has begun a lifetime devotion to God's Word. And it's the commitment that you make today to go forward in that devotion to God's Word that will make the difference in your life. In his work on Christian doctrine, Augustine points to a couple of types of ways that someone can teach you. And he mentions the first kind of teacher who just reads something aloud to their student. And he concedes that is certainly imparting information. But he points to another kind of teacher, one who actually teaches the alphabet to a student so that they may learn to read and take in information for themselves. And the hope of all of us who have labored in teaching you is that we would have been that second kind of teacher, the one who have given you tools that you will need to go forward, to study God's word, and then to use it to minister to others in whatever setting you're called. Notice that God says it should be on your mouth, not in your head, not even in your heart, but in your mouth. Because it's from that intake of scripture that you then go out and you minister God's word to others. And it will be much more effective than anything you can come up with in your own wisdom. Friends, as you prepare to leave here today with a diploma in hand, I would just encourage you, implore you, if you have not made that commitment to leave here as a lifetime student of Scripture, you should make that before you do anything else in this graduation ceremony. Third, I want to point out that success is ultimately tied to obedience. Success is ultimately tied to obedience. God repeatedly makes clear to Joshua that his knowledge of the law must lead to obedience to the law. And we're not called to conquer Canaan, but we are called to a godly life in Christ Jesus. God's will for us is sanctification, and we are warned by our Lord that we can gain the whole world and lose our soul. Whatever success that you have in life will be tied to your obedience to God's word, to the conforming of your life to that of Christ. And I'm confident that as a faculty who sits here, we will be proud of a number of accomplishments that you will make. And we love hearing about those. So email us, right? Tell us about those accomplishments. But we're much less worried about your promotion than we are about the godly life that you live that will keep you from ruining everything, from wrecking your entire life and ministry and career because of compromise with sin and walking in a path of disobedience rather than obedience. True success is intimately wed with godliness. So as you go, pursue that godliness. Fourth and finally, God has called you to be strong and courageous for the sake of his mission. Now, our ultimate mission that we're on is very different than Joshua's because we live in a very different point in biblical history. But when you came to Boyce all those years ago, you came because you recognized that we're a Great Commission institution. That we take what our Lord has told his followers to be about very seriously. And so as we gather and I have my last opportunity to present a charge to you, I would be remiss if I did not hold up to you that commitment to mission that we share. That commitment to go and make disciples wherever they may be found. When this service concludes, we'll sing of the world in ruin that needs your aid. And it is no less true now than it was when those words were written. You're going to be dispatched, filled with the love of Christ. You'll be in boardrooms that need the salt and light presence of a Christian witness. You'll man pulpits who desperately need the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ preached. And I could come up with example after example of the things that you will do. And so hear this, graduates of Boyce College. There is a harvest that is plentiful and the laborers are few. So be strong and very courageous. The Lord is with you. We are behind you. And a world in ruin truly does need your aid.